This is Marie Bilodeau with a warning for On the Edge. I would like to inform listeners that the following podcast is not edited and may contain moments of profanity, comments offensive to some people, and sexual content. We hope you enjoy the podcast. My name is Marie Bilodeau, and you are listening to On the Edge. We're very pleased today to welcome Selena Rosen. Selena, thank you for taking time out of your day today.
Thank you.
So how long have you been writing for?
Well, I'm 48, and I started writing at 12. I don't feel like doing the math, but it's a long, long time. Back when rocks were soft.
Ooh, back in the good old days, eh?
Good old days when rocks were soft, yeah.
So how many novels do you have about under your belt now?
I think 15 published? I think 15 published.
Wow, so what are your...
Dozens in the computer still.
Maybe they'll find a home someday.
They will. They all do. Eventually.
Good. What are your influences for your writing?
I don't know. I write in lots of different genres. I mean, I only write what basically genre fiction, but, I mean, I write mysteries, I write science fiction, I write horror, I write fantasy. I think it's just life. I always wonder when people ask me where you get the ideas that you write, and I never get tired of hearing that question, no matter how many hundreds of times I'm asked where I get my ideas. But at any rate, I always wonder how people don't have ideas and how they keep from writing. Because it just seems to me like everything that happens to you is a story, you know?
Including hurting your knee?
Including hurting my knee. I told you all about that, how the alligators from southern Arkansas blew up here with the tornado, and they got after my chickens because they were really pissed off and confused, and I had to chase them down with a stick, and then I hurt my knee.
It was very heroic, though, and that's what matters.
Heroic. It was, not so heroic to be crippled up now and gimping around the house. So I had to come up with a good story. I think I'm going to work on that one, though, because I don't know. It's not as good as I thought it was at first.
Not all there yet.
No, it's not all there yet. I'll have to work on it. Maybe aliens blew up here with the tornado. We had giant hail a while back. I got hit with giant hail. How's that sound?
Oh, that's pretty good. Sounds painful, actually.
I'm working on my barn and hurt my knee. So there you go.
It does a bit, I'll admit.
That doesn't sound good. Big deal. Oh, God, what are you, a moron? Yeah.
So not only do you write and work on your barn, but you also work in the publishing industry a bit. Can you tell us a bit about Yard Dog Press?
Yeah, we started Yard Dog Press 12 years ago now. 12 years ago in March. Mostly, I think, because we're masochistic. Masochistic, and so we decided, hey, you know what? We don't have enough pain and rejection in our life. Let us start a small press. So that's what we did. And Yard Dog Press is a little bit weird. It's a little bitty micro press, and we tend to take the bastard children of writers. In other words, if it's good and it's different, we take it. We don't try to compete with the big houses. We don't even try to compete with the small houses. Basically, if we've got it, it's because it's really, really different.
Oh, that's nice. That's a nice way to give the different authors a bit of a chance for you, eh?
Well, and we'll have right now we have a book with Robin Bailey. And what it is it's a collection of his short science fiction pieces, because Robin's usually thought of as a fantasy author, and he didn't have a home for it. And so so we did that. That's the kind of thing we do.
Oh, good for you.
Weird fits there.
Well, good for you, though. Keeps you busy.
Everything keeps me busy, honey. I'm busy all the time.
And yet so cheerful.
that's what we call it, cheerful.
Now,
remember, I hurt my knee. I'm happy drugs. So I'm not normally this cheerful.
Well, we'll have to try again in a week.
I don't ever take anything, so I took a couple of leave. I'm flying.
You're a happy woman tonight.
No, I'll leave, you know, I'll leave. That'll do it every time. If you have a few later, I don't know.
Well, if you get really into the drugged up state and you want to make some kind of deep confession for our listeners, don't be shy. Always.
You know what? I don't have to make any deep confessions because everything I've ever done is on the net somewhere.
That's true.
Everything I've ever done and everything I've ever said has wound up on the net somewhere. So there is no hiding for me.
Oh, so everybody, you can just Google Selena Rosen and you'll see it all.
That's right. That's not right. I have substantially more pictures of me sticking out my tongue or flipping somebody the finger or picking my nose online than I you know, I just got on a limb and say anyone else does not have that.
Maybe we won't encourage that.
I'm a class act. Go ahead, try and get more than me. Go for it. Go. We'll have a contest. See if anybody can beat me out.
Well, that's part of the fun, though, because in Sword Masters, which you recently published with Ed Publishing, you certainly don't seem to shy away from anything, really. I mean, bodily functions.
And that's the gamer of my books. You know that, don't you?
I do. I love
it. It's my first fantasy novel, and so it's probably the tamest thing I've ever written.
How did you feel about that, tamer? Why tamer all of a sudden?
Well, because when you do fantasy, you can't use the kind of language. I mean, it just doesn't, the language that I normally use just doesn't come across right because I talk like a sailor. I'm being nice now because we're on the air and all, but normally I talk like a sailor.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was told that they would put a warning on your interview if necessary. You know, so.
Yeah, it's like sometimes when they'll tell me, like, I do a lot of Toastmaster gigs. And they'll say when just before I go on stage, I go, Selena, remember PG-13. One of these days I'm going to get somebody, hire somebody to stand by the stage when they tell me that and just bleep out everything I say. And I'm just sitting there, every time I open my mouth, just go beep.
That would take a lot of the pressure off of putting coherent sentences together. That's
there
the good
go.
Part.
I just work at it. I can work at it now. I mean, get out there and spit out a bunch of stuff.
Well, if you do, I'm just telling you, it's okay.
Yeah,
we're not.
Oh, you can always just take it out, right, if I say something nasty.
Oh, yeah, we can edit stuff.
No, but I enjoyed writing Sword Masters. It was one of those things that just came up in my head, and I just sat there and I wrote it in like 40 days.
Oh, really? That's fast.
I wrote it 40 days while I still had a full-time job, wow. And I built a set for the little theater, and I planted my garden. So,
did you sleep?
Obviously, I'm an overachiever. Or it could just be because I'm OC. I don't know.
Wow, well, where did you get the idea? Like, it must have gripped you pretty strongly if you just sat down and wrote.
It's funny because it was one of those things that I started it, oh, like, my God, I don't know, probably a dozen years before I sat down to write, you know, and sat down and just wrote the whole thing. I had started it. I got about three chapters into it, and I kind of had the basis of what I wound up writing. And then I saw the trailers. I didn't even see the movie. I saw the trailers for Mulan. And I thought, oh, my God, everybody's going to think I ripped off this stinking Disney movie. And so I didn't write it. And so it sat there. And one day I was sitting in the office, and for some reason, I don't know, I just thought, I wonder where that story is. I'm going to get that story. So I dug it out of the trunk, and I read it, and I thought, you know, now I know what I'm going to do with the story, and I don't care about Mulan. So I just sat down and wrote the story. But, yeah, that's why I put it away, though, because it's like, I hate when that happens. I hate when you think you come up with something really different and really cool, and then you see some stupid-ass commercial on TV, and it's your stuff. And it's like, every time somebody tells me, you know, writers, they'll come up to me and they'll go, so, you know, I saw they stole my story idea and put it on the television program. And it's like, no, they didn't. You know, you should be so lucky that you're big enough that they worry about stealing your shit. That's not what happened. What happened was that everybody saw the same news thing, and they all had the same idea at the same time to use that news idea to write a story. It's that simple. No sabotage, no stealing, no plagiarism. Yeah, but anyway, but so that's what happened. And then I just sat down and wrote the story.
Well, it was certainly worth the wait, and I didn't, aside from the obvious theme of the woman hiding as a man in an army, I didn't see much correlation with Mulan for what it's worth.
I didn't either, because I actually wrote the book before I ever saw the movie because I was so pissed off. When I finally saw the movie, I thought, this is nothing like my book!
You guys plagiarize badly.
Yeah, it's like, no. It's like, you guys are going to plagiarize me before I finish something. At least get it right.
Gee, Disney, I tell you.
Yeah, you can't trust those people. They built the Small World ride.
There's so many people singing.
Small World ride?
No, I haven't. Have you?
It's hell, yes. It's hell. Small World ride. Bunch of little dolls singing their little crappy hearts out. It's terrible. Over and over again, the same thing. It's enough to make a grown woman barf.
You should have taken happy pills before
grown
that.
Men, yeah, exactly. Grown men run out of that ride screaming. Little girls are going, I loved it. I loved it. Yeah, it's hell for men is what it is.
Now I want to check it out.
God, now you've got to see it. Well, everybody's got to see it at least once because they can't believe it's so horrifying.
Well, yeah, it's like, I want to see this.
Imagine
hell.
Chucky on speed. That's like 50 billion Chuckies all singing a little happy song in their little dresses.
That's frightening.
It is. It's fun, yeah.
You could write a horror movie on that. Now, with Swordmasters, when you boil down, like, the intricate plot, the strong cast of characters, and the unapologetic themes, you basically wind up with a love story between the two female characters, Tarius and Jenna. Yeah. And they're both really three-dimensional and well-defined. Now, what are your thoughts on what makes these such strong characters and on generally building strong female protagonists?
I think that with a lot of writers, the ones that I think write one-dimensional characters, when you meet them or you talk to them, you realize real quick that they've never actually lived in the real world, and they don't really like people. I think the writers who build stronger characters and who have no problem building characters are the people who have lived a certain amount of their life in the real world and that do like people. Because when you like people, you listen to them, you listen to their stories, you listen to what they've been through, and you understand the human condition. And I think the difference between building any kind of, you know, even, you know, forget, let's get past women characters. I think when you get into building realistic characters of any sex, type, or creed, what it comes down to is, can you make the reader relate to what this person's going through, no matter if they're alien or they're have a different sexual orientation or whatever? And the way you do that is you make them human. Whether even if it's an alien character, in order to make a human think that it's a well-built character, it has to have those human qualities that they understand.
Yeah, and that's something you mentioned now, and that really came through, is that you really kind of pushed the boundaries. Like, you wanted to put everyone in your book, show that they could all be on an equal playing field if they were only willing as people to do so. Is that something important to you, to have that theme of equality?
That's very important to me. One of the driving factors when I was building Tarius's character, and especially Tarius's background, is I used my dear friend Eva, who was in a Nazi concentration camp from the time she was 12 until she was 15.
Ooh.
And I used a lot of Tarius's background was right out of Eva's life.
Oh, interesting.
And, I mean, I think that, yeah, I think that's probably why the themes of equality and stuff came through, because about the time I decided to go ahead and you know, when I got interested in the book and started picking it up again, at the same time, Eva had a stroke, and I wound up having to take care of Eva through her stroke, and because she had come so close to death, she started talking about all these things that she hadn't talked about ever. And so, you know, I had all that coming into my head at the same time. So that's probably, but I try not to be heavy-handed or preachy about stuff.
Oh, no, and it comes through in the book. It's a very subtle way of doing it through mostly Tarius and through all the other characters that kind of follow through as well. Very interesting. You had also, I'm kind of curious on your thoughts on Perseus, on the king. He was an interesting character, kind of a wishy-washy, almost, and I might be jumping to conclusions here, but almost a critique on government, if you will.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, oh, not jumping
exactly.
to conclusions.
Exactly, he's a critique on, he is. He is a political figure. When you check out political figures, whether it's a monarchy or it's a, you know, a democracy or whatever, you know, socialism, when you check out the political figures, they're always all about the power. And yet, mm-hmm. in order to keep the power, they have to pretend that they at least give a shit. And maybe they do and maybe they don't, but in any case, you know, their own personal lives become just they get erased in the process, you know, of living that way. So,
yeah,
he is kind of a metaphor for government.
I mean, it was obvious in a way because he was king, but you could see you had a bit of, you were pushing a bit of aggression onto him there at some point.
Yeah.
I like the way you portrayed him.
Well, I mean, because like I said, again, he's a typical politico.
Yeah.
He really is a typical politico. And so when you get, you know, when you're not trying to cover up that fact, you just go for it. You know, it becomes really obvious. So. Yeah.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about Bubbas of the Apocalypse?
Bubbas of the Apocalypse. A bunch of us were sitting around at a convention called Conestoga in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I had just released a collection of my short fiction called The Bubba Chronicles. And it was flying off this table. People were just buying it. And so everybody's saying, we have to capitalize on Bubbas. We have to do something with Bubbas. We have to... And so we were sitting around, we're throwing around ideas, and all of a sudden, I don't know, it struck me like a turd out of the blue. And I said, Bubbas of the Apocalypse, it's a shared universe anthology. And so from that, we now have 4 books.
Wow.
We actually now have 4 books in the universe. The premise is that a disease escapes from a secret government laboratory, and because of cheap airfares that year, it goes all around the globe, and it basically wipes out most of humanity. And the only people that are left are Bubbas and their families, and the reason they're left is because of an enzyme in cheap generic barbecue sauce that changes when you grill meat. So that's what saved them. And there are some yuppies that have lived on because of all the radiation from their computer screens. The disease mutated in their bloodstreams, and they live on as crazed, deranged yuppies, which the Bubbas call yumbies, and they're zombies, of course. And, you know, they still have cocktails and go into the office, and they eat human flesh. So there you go.
Yeah. Interesting. Are you still working on that series? Will there be more books coming?
Actually, yeah, the fourth one came out last... Yeah, hard to believe, isn't it? Anyway, the fourth one came out last year, and because of the popularity of it, a bigger company in an independent press called Ben Bella Books is releasing a Best of the Bubbas of the Apocalypse collection, which comes out this August.
Oh, nice.
This fall, I'll start reading for the 5th book in the series, which will be Time Traveling Bubbas, so that should be interesting.
That should be fun.
Yeah, it's just wrong. Not classy at all. It's just what it sounds like. Bathroom humor. So there you go.
Now, do you think you'll ever revisit the Swordmaster's universe?
Yes, I already wrote the 2nd book. It's called Jabone's Sword.
Oh, good.
So
and when
it's
that...
already finished.
Oh, good. Good for you. Has it found a home yet? Will it be a...
I think it'll go to Dragon Moon. I don't know.
Wonderful.
I'll talk to them and hopefully... Hopefully that's where it'll go.
We'll tell people to keep checking the website, edgewebsite.com.
Yeah, tell them to buy lots of copies of Swordsmasters, and then they'll be sure to go. You know, then they'll bitch and moan, and then Dragon Moon will say, oh my God, we must have this book. But yeah, I already wrote that, and I've already outlined the 3rd book.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's kind of a pirate adventure, the 3rd book. So.
Oh, nice. So are you going back to the same characters, or are you just...
I'll use the same characters, but they will have aged and progressed, and so it'll be different.
Oh, that's interesting.
What Selena Rosen does is sequels, which is I often will jump years ahead in time so that you can actually see what happened to these people instead of, you know, 15 minutes later when they really haven't had a chance to change at all.
Oh, that's nice. So can you give me a little tidbit of what happens in the second book?
Jabone's Sword, basically the main characters are really, I'm not going to give away too much because I don't want to ruin the book for anybody.
Oh, that's fair.
The main character is Tarius and Jenna's son, Jabone.
Okay.
And so he's Tarius's and Arvon's son, and he wants to go and fight the Amalites in the new territories, and that, you know, with his friends from the group, too. So it's basically the children of the characters from this book, but the characters from this book are also really, you know, front and center for a big portion of the book. So,
oh, wonderful. I'm looking forward to reading that.
Yeah. I think it's My best friend Joy, who also happens to be the president of my fan club, you know, that's always great. She actually was the president of my fan club before she became my best friend. I think it was all the ass kissing that made me decide I love her best. So, anyway, so, you know, they're worshiping at my feet and telling me wonderful, and then all of a sudden I thought, she's my best friend.
Yeah, I love her.
Yeah, I love her. She's my best friend. I love her better than everyone. Yeah, so I think that could be it. I don't know, because let's face it, all authors are really egocentric. Some of them just lie about it, but I don't. So there you go.
You're honest.
I'm so together, I don't lie about not being together. But anyway, Joy says she can't decide which book she likes better, Sword Masters or Jabone's Sword, because, of course, she gets to read everything as soon as I write it. So.
Ah, lucky woman, because she's the president. Now, what else can people find out about you? I mean, you've mentioned that you have a fan club. Like,
you know, I have a fan club. It's called The Chain Gang. And, okay. The Chain Gang. And what is it? Selena's Chain Gang. I don't know how you look it up on the web, though.
Probably just Google Chain Gang or your name.
Selena'sChainGame.com.
Chain Gang.
I'm in pain. That's why I said game.
Gang, G-A-N-G.
Yeah, G-A-N-G. Don't make me spell. Jeez, now you're going to make me look stupid on the air. Never make me spell. Never make a writer spell. We all live by spell check and copy editors.
Well, I didn't make you count. Come on, I got to make you spell a bit. Wonderful. So, well, thank you. Now, actually, I have one more question. I'm really curious. Do you find it harder to write humor than something more serious?
No, I actually find it easier to write humor than it is to write serious stuff.
It comes more naturally?
I just write. Yeah, it just comes natural. I just write, I don't know, I just write funny stuff. So it's a little bit more harder for me not to, you know, because you read Sword Masters, I can't write anything and not put some joke in it.
Yeah, it did make me giggle quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I got to put some jokes in there. I just can't do it. I can't make myself do it. But yeah, I find humor easier to write than drama.
Oh, good. Well, we're certainly looking forward to reading more of your future offerings, Selena. Thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed it.
And we'll do a little plug for you, though it may get edited out. We hope that you'll be able to get the second book after Swordmaster.
Don't let him edit it out, honey. You stand up for your rights.
I will. We want to see Jabone's Sword come out from Dragon Moon Press as well.
There
so
you
keep
go. Yeah,
on
you kick their ass and make them do it, you know.
I'll tell them.
Tell them so on I Edge can beat up alligators down here. I'll come and beat their ass.
Well, that might just frighten them.
Oh, yeah, we don't want to do that.
Now that the thread is recorded, though, I'm sure it'll be more efficient. She meant it.
Dangerous. She's dangerous.
And she's on happy pills right now. Remember that.
Happy pills. What am I taking to leave? You know, doesn't take much for me. What can I say? I'm old. Couple of a leave, and I'm like bouncing off the walls. I'm like,
Well, it was fun talking with you, even though you were slightly high. That was part of the fun. And we'll
I'm
keep
not
on.
High. I'm blaming that. I'm not high. Don't tell anybody else. Jeez.
And you didn't even like use one word, so we won't even have to put a warning on your.
I think I used shit, but I don't know. That seems pretty tame.
Oh, that's pretty tame. Yeah, I don't think we'll do that. I mean, we'll see, but.
You can't put this shit out here.
I'm not the one putting it up, so we'll let them decide.
Oh, there you go, hon.
Well, thank you so much, Anna. I look forward to reading your future books.
Thank you. Well, I have lots more that you haven't read. You
I know. I'm excited.
Now, order yeah, them now. Make me happy. I'm hurt. You know, you can make me feel better. You buy all my books. Today.
Today?
Yeah, today. Okay. Buy them today. Oh. SelenaRosen.com. You can buy them. I mean, I'm hurt.
That's true. Could by then you'd sign them for me?
Yeah, sure.
There you
I'd
go.
I'd sign them, and even though you couldn't see it, even with my crippled leg, I would do an interpretive dance.
Can I get a video of that?
You might could, yeah. I'm sure there's videos of me doing interpretive dance on the web. It's just scary, the stuff that's on the web. I try not to Google myself because, first off, Mom said I would go blind. But I try not to do it anyway. Because I just don't want to know what's out there.
That's fair. But we'll encourage everyone else to Google Selena Rosen.
Oh, no. Well, that'd be nice. Then I won't have to do it myself.
There you go. Everyone else can go check you out.
There you go. Everyone else can Google me.
There you go. You won't have to know.
It's a good day for me.
Well, thank you very much, Selena. It was a lot of fun. Take care. Bye.